Edius, Perik Beis, Mishnah Ches 2:8. Here we got more with Rabbi Akiva. Shlosha Devarim Amar Rabbi Akiva. These three things Rabbi Akiva himself said. Al Shnaim Hodulo. Two of them the rabbis agreed to. Val Echad Lo Hodulo. But one of them the rabbis didn't agree to. So what are these three things? The first is Al Sandal Shel Sayadim Shehu Tamei Midras. That the foot gear, literally the sandal of the lime workers, I'll explain in a moment, are Tamei Midras. They're susceptible to Midras Tuma. So the backstory here is as follows. We actually also have this in this Masechta already. One of the like the whole categories of Tuma and its transmission is called Midras. And that means if something is designed to support human weight, like a saddle, like a chair, like a rug, like shoes, so then if a Zav or a Zava or a Nida or a Yoledes, those four people who have Tuma Yotz Magufo, they have Tuma coming out of them, those four categories of people, they convey Tuma through Medras, meaning if there's no direct contact, but if a person was standing in his shoes, even though they had socks on, so then the shoes become Tameh. And actually the shoes don't just become Tameh, they actually become Tameh as an Avatuma. That's Medras, again, unusual. So the question is, does it apply over here? Now the rule for sure is that we definitely say Tumas Medras applies to all things that are designed to support people's weight, like shoes. But these shoes aren't really shoes. They're kind of foot gear to protect the lime workers. Lime is a very caustic substance. It like burns and like it on the skin. And that being the case, their clothing and their skin needs protection. So the lime workers would wear these kind of wooden foot gear. Okay, now they do, of course, like walk to and from a little bit in the foot gear, but they're not really for walking normally. So Rabbi Akiva's position is, listen, they do walk like to and from. Once they're putting on their gear, they put the gear on even at home and walk over. So since they wear it also, it's not just for protection of skin. It's also designed for walking, and therefore it's designed to support human weight, and therefore it's subject to Tumas Medras. However, the Chachamim took the position, no. The other side of the story is that, listen, this is really designed primarily for protecting the skin. According to some of some Rishonim we're talking about, it's actually protecting the clothes or the shoes underneath. So these wooden things aren't really designed for walking at all. They're just there for protective gear, not to support human weight. Even if someone does walk in a little bit, but so what? That's just by the by. It's not designed for that. That's not what the purpose of it is. It's just protective gear, and therefore it should not be subject to Tumas Medras, but the halacha is that it is. That's the first case of the three. The second is Va'al Shiare Tanur Arba'a. When it comes to like a broken oven, if its remains are four tfachim high, that they are susceptible to tumah at that point. Says the Mishnah further, Shahayu Omrim Shlosha. Originally they said it was supposed to be three tfachim is the amount, the minimum amount to be susceptible to tumah. Vahodalo, but they changed their mind, the rabbis did, in the wake of Rabbi Akiva's position, and said, no, you're right, it should be four. So just the very briefly, the backstory here, this is also very involved, is that kalim, utensils are makabel tumah, they're tumah prone, they're susceptible to tumah, and when it comes to a tanur, we'll call it oven, the ovens in the time of the Mishnah were pretty rudimentary, they're basically just big like clay cylinders, which were cemented to the ground, and they had maybe a hole in the bottom, and you put fuel, you know, fire in the bottom, and like they heated it up through the top, or there could be a shelf on the side. Okay, very simple. So now, really, the standard size for making a new tanur is, you know, if you're making a small regular tanur, would be four tefachim high. Now, if the tanur breaks a little bit off the top, if it's three tefachim high, it's still going to work. But l'chadchila, you want to make the starting position, the starting point of all tanurim would be standard, be four tefachim high. So now, if a kli breaks, it stops being tumah susceptible. The question is, how broken does that have to be to lose its tumah status? So if we're talking about a very big tanur, let's say a tanur that used to be, you know, 10 tefachim high, 9 tefachim high, and now most of it is broken off. So is it still considered to be a tanur that's makabel tumah? So originally, the rabbis thought to say, yeah, as long as it's 3 tefachim, because it'll work from 3 tefachim, so then it's still does its whole purpose, and therefore it's still makabel tuma. Rabbi Akiva said, no, when people make tanurim, they don't make them less than four at the outset. Therefore, if it's broken, yes, even if the majority is broken, it'll be tummy, but it has to have at least four, or else it will be tahor, and they sided with him. Okay, and that's the short of it. And the third case of the Mishnah is val echad lo hodlo, one opinion of Rabbi Akiva they didn't agree with, which is al kisei shenitlu shnayim mechipuyav ze betzad ze. If you have a chair, according to the Bar Tanura and most others, this, although chipuyav is the same word we had earlier on in the end of the first parak, about the kisei shel kala, the bridal chair, we'll call it. This is just a regular chair, okay? And again, this chair lost two of its slats, I'll call it. So the basic picture you have in your mind is basically kind of like a wooden crate, which would be the base of the chair. Maybe the chair also after that would get, like, you know, a back for comfort. But the point is, it's more like a stool than a chair. And the point is that if the wooden slats along the top are intact, that's what you sit on. Now, the standard way to do it was put three slats across. You can imagine each one, you know, 3-4 inches wide. So as long as you have those three slats together, the chair is a perfect chair, very comfortable. If you break off one of the slats, so then it still should be okay, right? Because you'll manage on two. Even if you break off the two outer ones, you just have one slat in the middle, you could still manage on one. But if you lose two slats from the outer in the middle, or the either of the two outer ones and the middle one, then you're left with just one little slat here, so now it's not really comfortable to sit anymore on, and therefore it stops being functional as a chair, and therefore the thought is it should lose its status of being susceptible to tumah, because it was a kli as a chair, now it's a chair that people wouldn't sit on, it's broken really, and therefore it loses tumah susceptibility. Rabbi Akiva is going to say, listen, this like wooden crate thing, well, even if you can't use it as a chair anymore, you could use it for storing your stuff inside of it. You wouldn't just throw it away. You'd keep it now. It's got like a little crate with a broken lid, but you could put stuff inside. Therefore, it still should be makabel tumah because it has like a base kibble, like a receptacle inside. The rabbi's position, the halach, will be no, it doesn't serve its primary function anymore. When someone manufactured this thing, was to be a chair for sitting on, not a crate for storing things, and therefore, once it's broken as a chair, it no longer is tumah susceptible. That's the gist of the Mishnah here. Here it says inside, v'lecha lohodlu, there was one that they didn't agree with, Rabbi Akiva, al kisei, you have a chair, she'nitlu shnayim michipuyav, two of its three slats were broken off from where you sit on. Chipuyav means something like from the word chaf, which is like the protrusions on a ki, okay, whatever it is. Ze b'tzad ze, two side by side, so now there's a big, yawning hole in the where you want to put your backside down to sit on. Rabbi Akiva matama, Rabbi Akiva says it's still matama because it's meaning it's susceptible to tumah, because although you can't sit on it anymore really comfortably, you can store stuff inside. Adam Forsh Mesh learned, well, even though you can't, not about storing, it's that even though you can't sit on it very comfortably anymore, you could sit on it b'dachak if you needed to find a place to sit. I mean, in the previous parak we had people sitting on the shelves of kneading troughs, so you can sit here on like a little skinny 4-inch slat on a broken chair. So Rabbi Akiva says it still functions according to that pshat, and Chacham Matar and the Chacham say no, according to the first pshat, if it can't, it wasn't made for storage, the fact you can store stuff doesn't change anything. According to the second pshat, sitting on a chair that's broken just because you can sit on something doesn't make it a chair anymore, it's broken, and therefore not makabel tumah.